Anybody broken this morning? Some way, broken in your heart, broken in spirit. Life's been hard on you. You're missing something. You're void of something. You're empty of something. And you're just broken. I mean, there's just a brokenness. And, you know, I think back to when I was a kid, and for most of us, unless you had a really bad childhood, for most of us, our childhood was one of our best times, wasn't it? We got mom and dad. There's no cares. There's no worries. Nothing bothers you. You know, you don't think about death. You don't think about sickness. You don't think about money or bills. You don't think about relationships. You're not going through a divorce or a bad marriage or a rebellious child. It's just a wonderful time in your life of where you're just enjoying life. And then something happens. Then you grow up. And then something else happens. You get married. It keeps getting worse. Then you have kids. And then you start having more bills. And you think as they get older, the bills get better, and you find out they get worse as they get older. And you're like, does it ever end? You know, does the things in life ever end? And then you have attacks from the enemy, and then you find yourself in a place you never thought you would be. You know, many of you may have been in a whole different spiritual place 20 years ago than you are today. You were in a whole different place. And you look at yourself today and you say, why am I here? How did I get to this desolate place? Man, I used to walk with God, talk with God. I used to spend hours with God. I was in every church service when the doors were open. I went to every revival that came to town. I was into the things of God. And little by little, that's been chipped away because we let other things pull us away from that. I did some studying on some research polls. And did you know in America now, and this is very true, I can say it just by our church body, probably. This is pretty true. And from other church bodies I talk with, other pastors. That in the year 2012, when they did the last survey, from best speculations, only 18% of American adults attend church on a regular basis. Now, let's define regular, just so we know. Regular is not twice a year. Regular is not even really twice a month. Regular means you're here on a regular basis. Regular means how you work, not how you come to church. That's pretty regular. You're there every day, right? Every time you're supposed to be. 18% of Americans now regularly attend church. What is wrong? What has happened to the culture of the church culture? And I've been preaching for years on this, church, that I'm worried about the future of the local church. And I talk to pastors across the board, and all of them's the same. Dropping. Too much in the way. Too much preaching in the way. Too much conviction in the way. You know, and so we see the world that we're in. And what happens when we get out of church, when we get out of fellowship with God, the devil comes into our lives and then attacks us, and then we become broken. And we can't sometimes get back. How do I get back? How do I get back to where I was? Man, I used to be like Samson. I could just shake myself and boom, I felt the Holy Spirit. And now I shake and I shake and I shake and nothing happens. Why? And what Rodney said was right on target. We have a God we can feel, church. We can feel our Jesus. It's not some dried up routine religion that we're going through the motions. And like the Bible says, that we have a form of godliness, but no power. Church, I don't care how godly something looks. If it doesn't change you, there's nothing to it. There should be a change when the Holy Spirit moves upon your life. There should be strongholds broken, sickness healed, souls saved, families restored, hope regenerated, peace comes upon you. Something changes because we have a God that we can feel His very presence when we enter into it. And there's nothing like it. No greater feeling. But Jesus came for that purpose. And we'll see it here in Luke 4. He came to heal the brokenness. We were broken from God. Broken fellowship. We were not reconciled to Jesus because of sin. And when we allow sin to keep being dominant in our life as Christians, we become more and more and more broken. And we're like, God, I'm tired of being this way. I want to be fixed. God, I want to be fixed. I'm tired of being in a broken state. Back in the Old Testament days, whenever someone mourned or grieved or in true repentance, A lot of times they would put a sackcloth over them. This was usually made out of goat hair. It'd go over their head or either around their waist. They would tie it. And they would sit in this goat-haired garment. And they would sit on a pile of ashes a lot of times. And they would sit on these ashes with this goat-skin coat on through repentance, through grief, through mourning, through brokenness, until that was lifted. You know what they were saying? I'm in such a bad place. Here I'm clothing myself with this, sitting on these ashes, and God, I'm asking you to restore me and get me off of this. And then they would. They would rise up, wash themselves, take the garment off, get rid of the ashes, and they were restored. Too many of us are sitting on a pile of ashes, and we got our goat hair on. And it's time for us to come out of the ashes and the brokenness be fixed, that we walk again free. We get our hope, our joy, our strength, our power back. We should not be walking in a state of discouragement and defeat and depression and condemnation and shame and guilt. Jesus came to take all of that away from us and to bring complete healing and make the whole man whole again. And that's what we need, a whole man made whole. Look what Luke 4:8 says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus speaking, prophesying something out of Isaiah. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The word poor here means those that are in distress. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive, or brokenhearted, to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them which are bruised. Now the word here, broken, in this particular translation means completely shattered or crushed. Jesus came to restore those of us that were shattered, that were crushed, that have been put into pieces because of what sin had done and because of what life can bring. Now, I don't care how much of a Christian we are, how much we walk with God. Just as Rodney said earlier, we are human beings and every one of us are going through problems right now. Every one of us. We're going through attacks, we're going through fears, we're going through hopelessness, some of us, we're going through discouragement or guilt or shame. Some of us don't know which way to go, we're waiting on a door to open. We need direction, we need discernment. Some of you are absolutely at a place, you're at the end of your rope, and there's no more rope to slide down on. It's either let go and die or hang on and live. That's where some of you are right now. And Jesus came to heal that brokenness and restore that place that the devil has robbed you of. That's why we are in a world of such chaos, such iniquity, because people are broken. They are tired of being rejected by man, rejected by spouse, rejected by people, so they turn to other things. Jesus will never reject you. He said in his word that in no wise will I cast anyone away who comes to me. Doesn't matter how you look, how you dressed, what you've done, whether you're high, whether you're on crack, whatever it is, when you come to Jesus and you say, God, can you save me? Can you really change me? Can you really fix my brokenness? God, I'm broke bad. I mean, I'm really broke. You don't know my brokenness. Yes, he does. He knows how broke you are inside. He knows how much peace you need. He knows that you're shattered and you're crushed and you feel like there's no hope and you go through day after day. Some of you have even thought, Lord, just take me on. I'm just ready to go home because you're at a point of such brokenness. Or you thought thoughts like it'd be better if I wasn't here. Been better if I just was off the earth. Be better if I wasn't in their life. It'd be better if I didn't have them. It'd be better if I wasn't their mother, if I wasn't their father. It'd be better if I just was disappear. Some of you had those thoughts. Those are thoughts from the enemy because you're in a broken state. But God came to heal the brokenness and put every piece back together. And you may be shattered today, but God can glue it back perfectly formed again to where you leave a full vessel again, restored, refined, polished, and shined, all for the glory of God. He says, look what I did. Here was your life before. Here is your life after. I have fixed you. That's what God does. He fixes us. Nobody else can do that, but God can. People spend money and money and money on counselors and on going all these places, and they're still broken, and they're still defeated, and they're still discouraged, and they're still hopeless. What it takes is one touch from the Holy Spirit. One touch. It doesn't take a bunch of hyping it up. It doesn't take, it's one touch. as he walks by you and puts his hand on you, boom, everything changes. I see the light. I was in darkness all of my life, and Jesus passed my way on this day at this time. And for 50 years I was in hell, but in 30 seconds the kingdom was shining in my life, and I'm healed forevermore. That's still the Jesus we have today, and his power is still the same. But we are shutting him out. Once again, as Rodney said, we are pushing him away and shutting him out. Don't want God. Don't want him. I don't want to hear that. See, people want their lives endorsed that what they're doing is okay. It's okay what you're doing. But it's not okay, not because we're morally judging, but because it leads to brokenness. Sin always leads to brokenness. Broken lives. I've talked to many couples through the years. And I've told many of them many times that your foundation is wrong, your house is going to fall. Because your foundation is wrong. Never fails, it falls. You can't build things your way and expect God's way to show up. It doesn't happen that way. And people are broken because they've started on the wrong foundation. They keep staying there. They keep denying God, rejecting God, don't want God, don't believe in God, don't need to hear about God. I'm okay. Don't preach to me, preacher. Don't do this. And we just keep staying broken. We just keep staying broken. There's nothing going to fix your brokenness but a touch from the Lord. That's the only thing that's going to work. And that's what Jesus came to do, to preach to that brokenness inside. There are people, and that was a beautiful story about the Muslim you talked about, beautiful story. And there are people like that all around us that are starving and that are hungry for truth. If somebody will just step out of the box and preach it to them and just speak it to them. If somebody will just show them, you don't have to stay broken. You don't have to stay alone. You don't have to stay crushed in spirit. You don't have to stay desolate. You don't have to stay dry. You don't have to stay hopeless. You don't have to stay in guilt and shame because Jesus pulled you out of all that. You can be made whole by one touch of Jesus. Turn to the next scripture. Well, right here, look, broken, crushed, completely shattered is what it means. Next scripture. This is Isaiah 53:4. We all know this verse, prophesying the death of Jesus. Surely he, talking about Jesus, hath borne our griefs. He's bore them. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Healing comes from what Jesus did on the cross. It all goes back to the cross, church. We can't avoid the cross and where it started at. Our healing came from Jesus being bruised and carrying that. There's nothing you're going through today Jesus doesn't know you're going through. And for those that say, well, he sure ain't helping me. He sure ain't showed up. He sure don't hear my prayer. You know, if he's there, why don't he fix things? Well, you know, there are a couple of things here. First of all, let's get our attitude in check. Because it's kind of hard for God to want to move when you tell him, you know, you ain't done. I mean, you know, when Debbie looked at you and says, well, you ain't done that. You ain't done that. Do you want to do it then? Well, that's because you're scared of her. But most of us would say, well, do it yourself if I ain't doing it enough for you. And so we have to understand that our attitude must be right. Repentance isn't this. Church repentance or seeking the presence of God or feeling God isn't, well, God, if you're real, you better show me. Lord, strike it down right now. God, if you're real, make that donkey talk. God, if you're real, let that cat look at me and say, he's real, meow. Let it happen. You know what? We don't want it to happen. We didn't get the right attitude. Here's the right attitude. God, I've never felt you. I'm not sure who to believe in. But Lord, I want truth. And show me, God, your truth. Reveal to me who you are. And shine in my heart. And let me feel your presence, God. If you are real, I call upon you, God, to show me that. See, when our heart is tender and really submissive to God, He will show up and He will show you truth. He will, you will feel His presence. He will show Himself to you in a way you've never experienced before. But a lot of people don't really want that. You know, Rodney hit it on the head, so many people going through motions, you know, same old dead song, same old dead hymn, same old, you know, formatted program. You can go to a lot of churches and they'll give you a little sheet. And maybe y'all like that, but we ain't never done it here and don't get used to it because we won't ever gonna do it. But there's these sheets you can get when you come in the door. And they're going to tell you the order of service, everything to the detail of what's going to happen. Everything, and they do them every week. And I'm not, nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, I mean, what if God wants to do something different in that program? What if God wants to move? What if God wants to change the song? Can you imagine? We're going to do hymn 421, not, but we've already got it in the print. Well, change it, man. Sing something different. As the Holy Spirit's moving, sing something different. And we go through all this powerless ritual with no, and here's the deal. A lot of people feel very comfortable in that because there's, in a lot of it, there's not a whole lot of deep spiritual conviction. It's just a feel-good process of getting through Sunday morning. It doesn't invoke you to think. Because we don't like thinking this, church. We don't like thinking this. That I've got things in my life I need God to fix. I've got sin in my life I need God to heal. I've got things in my life that I'm ashamed of and I keep hidden in my heart that, God, I need you to help me find forgiveness and help me find peace and help me find healing. We don't like to think of those things. It invokes things in us. And so if we can go somewhere where that's not happening, we feel comfortable. But without the Holy Spirit drawing, without the Holy Spirit power, without the Holy Spirit's conviction, what changes? Nothing. We leave the same way we came in. We just leave the same way, just a smile on our face and, you know, $20 less in our pocket. That's the only change that happened. But when we come into a place and we allow Jesus to be who He still is, we can't put the Lord in some kind of defined box and say, here's how you operate, Lord. This is the routine. We have to allow the Lord to lead in a way that brings change to our hearts. Not our heads, our hearts. When you got married, you didn't marry your wife or husband because how you felt about them in your head. You didn't sit there and, you know, my grandpa say, well, Gladys, let me think about this thing now. She's pretty. Yeah. I ain't going to do no better. She's a mountain girl. I kind of like that. She got pretty black hair. And what's the right thing to do? She's a Christian now. Yeah, Christian. That's a good one. Yeah. So Christian, pretty, mountain girl. What else? And she smiles at me. And she kisses good on the jaw, as Ernest T. Bass says. So you know what? I think I'll marry her. Gladys Minton, I've been thinking about something. And we just should be together, I think. So you want to get married? It's just the right thing to do. That's not too romantic, is it? You don't marry somebody because you think about it. You marry them because your heart loves them. And you can't see yourself with nobody else. Your heart just pitter-patters in a certain beat. That's the one. You don't process it in your mind. It hits you. This is why women can't get away from bad men. Don't you think if her mind, you know, if her mind could do it, they would? Well, let's see, he beats me. He's a drunk. He cheats on me all the time. Calls me a dog and verbalizes, you know, verbally abuses me. Don't take baths every day. Got that skeleton tattoo I don't like on the back of his neck. Let's see here. But you know what? I love him. I just love him. He don't mean to hurt me. He don't mean to beat me. He don't mean to call me a dog. I am a dog sometimes. I am one sometimes. I mean, the reason women can't get away from it because they get it in their heart. Emotionally, they're grounded and they just can't break away. Everything in your head says, leave that fool. or don't get with to start with. But you can't break away because you love. You got to hear. If we could get people to love Jesus that way in their heart, not just in their head, well, I better get saved. Well, I don't want to go to hell. That's why church, all the years I preached, I've been pastoring 11 years this church. And we talk about hell. Of course we do. We preach about, you know, how, but you don't hear me talking about if you don't want to go to hell, you better get saved. I don't preach that tone. You know why? Because you can't scare somebody into the kingdom of God. I don't care what any preacher tells you. You can't scare them. Church, there's no conversion, real conversion in their heart if you scare somebody, you know. You better get Jesus or do you want to burn in flames? Well, I don't want to burn in flames. I'll get Jesus. But unless it changes your heart, nothing's happened. See, you got to be drawn out of love for Jesus. You got to be convicted inside. Lord, I love you. You're drawing me. I feel your presence, God, and that's what I need. I need you to fix my brokenness because I am empty and lost and no hope. Don't know where to go, God. Something's got to happen. I need you to step in and change my situation. He comes into our heart. That's what I love about that one song they sung, to change my heart. God, come change my heart. It's our heart that must be changed, not our head. Because if God gets in your heart, your thoughts will change. You'll think differently. You'll walk differently. But it all starts in your heart. Jesus carried our sorrows. He is bruised for our iniquities. He carried the chastisement of our peace upon him that we could be healed. Healed. Life brings a lot of scars. I mean, you look at different things you've gone through in your relationship with your money, with your job, with attacks from the enemy, with sickness and disease. It can scar you. It can scar your life. And if we don't allow Jesus to be that healing salve that covers it up, to say, Lord, you're the only one that can make me feel better. There's nothing else that can fix it but you. He fixes our brokenness. There is nothing more moving than to see one broken before the Lord. Jeremiah talks about this, about being or the clay. He's the molder. What happens, most of us don't want to really be the clay. We want to mold ourselves. We don't give our life to God. God, you mold me. You chisel me. You form me. You make me. You do what you want in my life, God. I completely surrender my will to your will. Because when we do that, God will begin to do some things in our lives. But not if we don't want him to. God is not going to bust your door down and make you be something you don't want to be. Ever. But when we are the clay and we give ourselves to him, he'll take it, he'll form us on his little wheel and mold us and shape us. And then all of a sudden, we'll become something beautiful because he did it. He created it. Doc, don't you like the new Doc a lot better than the old Doc? The Doc after Jesus versus the Doc before Jesus. You're a lot prettier, aren't you, after? I know it's up for discussion, but I'm talking about inside. You're a lot prettier. You can look in the mirror now and you can see God instead of seeing Satan. You can see his workmanship instead of what the devil did to you. You can probably look in the mirror today and say, Jesus, thank you for your grace. As I look at this image, I didn't deserve it, but you gave it to me. And when I look in these eyes and my reflection now, I see what you've done, God. No more that who I was and the shame and the guilt of who I was, but who I am now in you. There's nothing greater than that. To look in the mirror and see the reflection of Christ in us. That's what he does. He fixes things. One more verse I believe I got. Psalms 34:18. I love this verse. Very simple, but very powerful. Look at this. The Lord is nigh. That means near. The Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart. He's near you. He's right here. He wants to fix you. His shop is open. He does all kinds of work. He does full body work. Whatever you need. You need a mind change, he can do that. You need joy, peace. You need a tune up. You need a restoration. You need a whole makeover. You need a paint job. He's got a body shop open, and everything you need, he's got for you. He's close to you. He's near you, and he wants to bring peace to you. Look what the next part says. He saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Those that are broken, those that are humble, those that have nothing left to offer but themselves to God, he saves us. But church, we got to have, you know, being up here, you see everything. And there's been many times, especially when you know, other churches may come in or people that's not part of this body. I'm probably a little, you know, I play favoritism with y'all. I love y'all. So I see y'all different probably than other people may see you. Because, you know, I love you. I'm your pastor. But, man, there's times people's in this church. Sometimes it is you. Where I'm up here preaching or something. And man, I tell you, I just look mad. Hateful. Angry. Just, I mean, you couldn't look no worse if you're dead. You look better probably if they, you know, they make you smile or they move your mouth. At least you got, you know. I mean, goodness gracious. And this should be a place, church, where we just break everything down and where we are one family. Whether you like having Doc as your cousin or not, he is. We are one family in God. We look different, we act different, but we are one family. You know, we even got Yankees in this family. And God loves them too. You know there's grace. God loves them. And we're one. And this is to be the one place we feel safe into coming and allowing ourselves to be free in the Lord and free with each other. God's so funny. There's always something like that going on where I don't know. I think it's not me, is it? See which one's flashing, Doc. Thank you. Enemy trying to disrupt this service with a car. That's never happened. I don't think a car alarm in a church. Huh? Yeah. That was your car. Thank you, Aunt Brenda. The devil comes in pretty packages. We got it, Doc. Thank you. They fessed up. What'd you do? Go scare a poor little girl who's this old man sitting beside me. Stranger danger! Mommy! Golly. Oh, goodness. There you go. Thank you, Brenda, for lighting the mood there. Church, God does care what you're battling right now. I promise you he cares, and he wants to fix you. He wants to fix things in your life. He wants to move in your life in a very special way. Do not give up hope. Some of you are trying to fight this battle within yourselves. You're fighting it with flesh and blood and not letting the Lord really fight it for you. You're trying to figure all this stuff out, and you're not allowing God to come in. I want to say this. Nothing in your life will be like it's supposed to be unless you surrender it to God. It just won't. Things won't work out for you. There'll always be those, and we're always going to have obstacles. I'm not saying that. But when you have the Lord, you know, think about the trials you went through. You that are saved here this morning, really, I mean, you're saved. You think about some of the trials you've been through the last few years. I mean, bad trials, death, something in the family, something that really was a tragedy. Where would you have been without the Lord in this? Could you got through it? You couldn't. If you didn't have the Lord, Grandma, you couldn't have got through what happened to Grandpa. It would have destroyed you. It would have destroyed you. Yeah. See, church, that's the beauty of our God. You don't have to be here. You don't just show up at 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock. He's with you where you go. When Grandma was grieving, probably still does some, but in bed at night, especially right after, she'd be laying in bed crying and nobody knew what was going on. Y'all were living your lives. I was living my life, going on like normal, you know. But there is God in the bedroom with her, holding her and comforting her and healing her brokenness. Because she had a God she could call upon, and any time she called his name, she felt his presence. That's what we got to get back to, church. Knowing that when we call his name, we can feel his presence. And we should be able to do that. We should be able to, any time we call the name of the Lord, be able to feel his presence. Lord, I need you. It's like that song, every hour, I need you. And God, I'm going to call upon you. And when we call upon the Lord, we should be able to know He is there and feel Him in our situation. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Present help. It's not some God we got to genre up with drums and tribal dances. Not some God we got to hope that if we live right enough, He'll hear us. It's not some God that is way off in the distance that we have to, you know, yell at to get His attention. He's a God that in a moment we call upon His name, we can fall to our knees and say, Jesus, boom, yes, here I am. What do you need? That's the God we serve. He's ever present, forever present, actually, whatever we're battling. There is no way, church, without the help of God in my life, would I probably be married still, have this church still be pastoring. I don't know where I'd be without Him. Because life brings you battles. And life chips away at you little by little. And if we don't allow the Lord to walk with us and keep us healed, we will be destroyed by it. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to change the hearts and the lives of everybody that He touched. I think about the thief on the cross, one of my favorite stories of His grace. It pretty much, and people still try to teach around it, but it pretty much takes away any kind of, you got to do this to get saved, or do this to keep saved. The thief on the cross, there were two beside Jesus. A nasty one. We'll use Gail as the nasty one. Joe is the sweet one. Here's Gail on one side of Jesus. If you're really Christ, get yourself off this cross and get me off too. And the Bible says He was just snarling and snurling, and He was just hateful and ill. Get us off the cross if you're this so-called Lamb of God. Yeah, boy, whatever. Why are you up here if you're so powerful? Why'd they catch you if you're really God? Really? And you're preaching to everybody? Yeah, you ain't nothing, God. You ain't nothing. If you're really something, help me out, and then I'll say you're something. And then here's Joe Brown saying, Gail, shut up. You deserve to be up there, you murdering, fornicating, gambling, nasty rascal. And by the way, he's only one of those three things, okay? Y'all can think about which one. I'm just playing. Get off that. Leave him alone. We deserve to be up here. And then Joe looks at Jesus. Lord, I know I deserve to be up here. I'm bad. I'm evil. When you come into your kingdom, could you remember me? Do you think I could be a part of it with you? And right then, in that moment of Joe's brokenness, he lived his whole life in a broken state. He's about to die in a broken state. But Jesus speaks these words to him. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Joe's brokenness was healed by one touch from God. On the cross, in his hours of death, this one thief repented and said, Lord, I know you're the Christ. Will you help me? And all of a sudden, can you imagine the peace he must have died in, Joe? Knowing it's all right. As he gave up the ghost on that cross, he entered into that presence. Man, can you imagine the history of just being one of the two thieves that died beside Jesus? Just the history of that. Wow. Our brokenness can be healed if we allow Jesus to heal it. He cares for you. He loves you. There's nothing too big for Him not to fix or handle. There are many battles you are struggling. There's things that I know I don't know about, but I know you're struggling. Some things I do know about. Y'all talk to me sometimes about things. But there's a lot of things that you are struggling in your family, in your home, that you're battling against the devil. It's constant fighting all the time. Just let God step in and fight for you. And just heal that broken heart. We have been broken by the enemy over and over and over. And if we don't allow God to heal us, we just keep getting worse and worse. Allow Jesus to come in and heal you. Heal what's inside. And bring peace to that situation. He loves you, church, like you are. don't have to change at all to come to Jesus. You just come to him. You don't have to clean up to come to Jesus. You just come to him. It don't matter what you did before you walked in this door today. It don't matter how bad, it don't matter what you did or where you were or who you was with. The moment you say, Jesus, I'm broken. I want to feel you again. I want to be restored again. I want to be healed. I want all this baggage out of my life. I'm tired of dealing with this. Help me, Jesus. Help's on the way. He will help you because he's faithful. He'll never turn no one away that calls upon his name. He will visit you and he will show up. If you are broken today and you need healing, God is here to do that. You know, you see smiling faces on Sundays, and you think we got it all together. You see me on Sundays. Pastor ain't got no problems. I know some of y'all pray for me, and I appreciate that. I need the prayers. But, and I'm supposed to have it together, right? I'm the pastor. So I'm supposed to have it together. I'm supposed to be the leader, the shepherd, the one that's strong, the one that's cheerleading all y'all. Go, Gail. Go, Joe. Go, Stacy. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it. But man, there's so many times I'm completely out of gas. And I'm hanging on. I'm like, man. So, you may see a smiling, beautiful face up here this morning. I mean, dynamically hot. Control your emotions there, y'all. Men and women, control your emotions. And you may see this, but there are times that me and Melanie are in the trenches. And there are times we're like looking at each other like, what do we do now? What do we even go from here? Are you tired, Melly? I'm exhausted. Yeah, I am too. I'm flat exhausted. And then I remember, I got a God too. I don't just preach about him. I know him. So then I have to remind myself to call upon the Lord as well. And Melly as well. You see Melly's smiling, perky face on Sunday mornings. She's not always perky. Trust me. She's not always perky. But you know why she's not always perky? Because she's got battles like we all do. We've been raising kids for 18 years. Still got a long way to go. You'd be unperky too. She's married to a preacher. That'd make you real unperky. And so I have to remember, God, you can heal my brokenness too. And God has never failed me that when I truly come to him, he helps me and he strengthens me. If you need God to heal your brokenness, you are carrying such a weight today and you want God to lift it off of you that you leave out of here free from that weight. Whatever it is that's broken, that's been broken in you, you weren't meant to carry that. Jesus carried it for you. Church, he can remove grief off your life. He can remove shame off your life. He can remove fear off your life. And maybe you just want to feel God. God's going to feel you. I want to just feel you. It's been so long since I felt you. He's here to do that. D, are you still in here? I want you to come sing your song again, would you? The one you sung a while ago. And I want to open up the altar this morning for if you're broken and want to just come before the Lord today and say, God, heal me. I want you to touch me. I want you to fix me. See, the first thing that we have to admit, church, is that we're broken. That we need to be fixed. Somebody else is broken this morning and needs to be fixed. Thank you, Debbie. He loves his mama, don't he? But we have to admit that we're broken. We have to admit that we're carrying things that we need God to heal us of. And, you know, the older you get, like I was talking about being a kid, the older you get, you change seasons in your life. I thought I would always be as carefree and happy as I was when I was 20, and you find you're not. You know? And you find yourselves feeling bound sometimes or feeling just, where do I go, God? Some of us just lost our zap. We've lost our joy. We've lost that thing in our life that used to drive us, and we've lost it because we've allowed the world to come in too much. You got to make a choice today. You stay in the world, you'll stay broken. I guarantee you. Doc, you were, up in your 30s when you got saved? How old are you? 39. So for, you know, Doc lived more of the devil than he has the Lord on the earth. Yeah. He lived more years of the devil than he did the Lord. 39. So think about it. Manly's 39. Almost 40. A couple weeks. And for Doc to find the Jesus at her age, for 39 years he walked the earth doing his thing his way. For 10 years he drew you and you fought it. What finally happened? What do you remember that moment, or do you remember what actually happened to break that? You were in a church service and came up? See, the Holy Spirit, we feel it. That's what I'm saying. I mean, Doc, for 10 years, resisted against that and fought against that. But see, God called him. God wouldn't let him go. God kept speaking his name. And eventually, the Holy Spirit was more than he could battle. What he's done in your life. Look at the two kids you have here, both in church, and both saved, and both serving the Lord, really. David don't know it yet, but he kind of is serving the Lord in a way. He's going to serve him more. So, Doc got to a place of such brokenness that where else can I go? That old song, where can I go but to the Lord? So D sings a song, Gift of Grace. Grace is available to you today to heal you. You didn't earn this gift, church. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. You can't get it. It's a beautiful gift that God has given mankind, all mankind. And if he is speaking to you today for anything you are battling, anything you need lifted off of you, I'm believing this morning those that will come up here and bow before the Lord and say, God, heal my brokenness. I believe God is going to lift it off today, and you will walk out of this church different than you came in. Not because of routine or religion, but because Jesus passed your way. That's what it's about. So I want to open this up. If you need prayer, need healing, you just want to feel them, you're just tired, you're weary, just come pray. Go ahead.
Ooh,
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I remember the first time we met.
Thank you, Jesus.
I was living life with a deep regret. But I remember well that sacred place where I received your precious gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave his only Son. Never understand why he loved a common man so much that he would die in our place. But I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Yes, I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Here I am alone with you again. know I'm wounded from the burdens of my sins. I'm guilty and ashamed of my mistakes. But then you extend your endless gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave His only Son. I'll never understand why He loved a common man so much that He would die in my place. Oh, but I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Yes, I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Thank you, Jesus. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave His only Son. I'll never understand why He loved a common man so much that He would die in our place. But I know I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Yes, I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. I remember the first time we met. I was living life with a deep regret. But I remember well that sacred place where I received your precious gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave His only Son. I'll never understand why He loved a common man so much that He would die in my place. But I'm so thankful for the gift of grace.
Thank you, Jesus. Gift of grace.
Yes, I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. Burdens of my sins. I'm guilty and ashamed of my mistakes. But then you extend your endless gift of grace. The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave His only Son. I'll never understand why He loved a common man so much that He would die in my place. But I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace.
Thank you, John.
The gift of grace is free to all who choose to come to the cross where the Father gave His only Son. I'll never understand why He loved a common man so much that He would die in our place. But I know I'm so thankful for the gift of grace. I'm so thankful for the gift of grace.
Thank y'all for your time this morning. There's nothing more precious than feeling His presence, having our brokenness healed, lifted off of us. The Bible says in Peter that He cares for you, and He does. He cares for you. Go to God, church, anytime you need something. Go to God, and He will show up. He will answer. If I can get the ushers up here this morning, please. And I only need four today since the seats are this way, so. Come on up, Doc. Watch that rope, David. Lord, we thank You for Your presence that's been here today, for Your word that teaches us and tells us that You came to heal the brokenhearted. We can fight, we can reject, we can run, we can rebel. But Lord, You still love us through all of that, and You're still calling us. You're still knocking on our door. Lord, Doc's testimony is such a strength and encouragement. For so many years, rejected, but then said, Lord, I need You. What a beautiful story of redemption, salvation. Lord, just let us all have that story. Let us, each one of us here today, at some point in our life, have that same story, that I was lost and God, You found me. Thank You for that. Bless this offering today and this seed. Lord, You see the need for finance in this church to continue to do what You've called us to do. Lord, I pray that hearts will give and that people understand what it is to give and that how important it is to sustain the local church that their giving does. We thank You and we praise You. Bless this seed. Use it for Your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.